did for the good of the realm. The realm. Do you know what the realm is? It's the thousand blades of Aegon's enemies. A story we agreed to tell each other over and over till we forget that it's a lie. But what do we have left once we abandon the lie?
Chaos. A gaping pit waiting to swallow us all.
Chaos isn't a pit. Chaos is a ladder. Many who try to climb it fail and never get to try again. Fall breaks them. And some are given a chance to climb. They refuse. They cling to the realm. Or the gods. Or love. Illusions. Only the ladder is real. The climb is all there is.
Here I is, Terrible Tommy, in the bunker again, right here on a very hot day here in Southern California. Going to stay in by the air conditioner today. But unfortunately, this morning, my fan broke on my air conditioner. We had to have a guy come out and fix it, but he got it fixed pretty fast. Luckily, or we'd have been toast. Well, it's November the 22nd, 2017. Wotan's Day, David Lane's favorite day, and the day before Gobble Gobble Day. And thank all your ancestors tomorrow. Thank your mom and dad. Thank your grandma and grandpa. But don't thank the spooks in the sky, because they're not going to help you at all. Isn't that interesting how the state gets you off the track of celebrating your ancestors and so forth, and your parents? They get you off worshiping some zero god in the sky. That must be their private joke behind closed doors. Yeah, I see. Wait a minute. One thing you got to get, if you don't have your donations in yet, get them in, because we need to get them in. Yeah, I got to send some money over to our boys in the Huascal too. That helps. I'm sending them literature as much as possible, and I just sent out several books to one prisoner, and that's a pretty good deal. They really appreciate that. I get some pretty nice letters. Well, let's see here. I think the spooks in the sky for President Mugabe. That's all that's worth. He did a great job as a black power man, a black supremacist. If there ever was a black supremacist, he's it. He's 90 some years old, and he had those niggers right where he wanted them. And they worship him. They still do worship him. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing, you know. The only thing I don't like about Mugabe is the way he treated white people and ran them out of his country. They couldn't stay there because they wouldn't fight, just like South African whites. They didn't fight. They had all the weapons. They had all the modern military. They had plenty of white Afrikaners in the military, and they didn't fight at all. So I can't feel that sorry for them. I'm sorry. I'd like to feel sorry for them, but people who won't fight for their land and for their life, I don't know. Those white farmers just sit there and hope they'd leave them alone until the niggers come down the road and hack them to pieces with the blade. I can't respect that. I can't respect that. It would have only taken one little bullet or something like that to solve the Mugabe deal way back. But nobody felt that it was they had the balls to do it. So I guess that's the way it goes. Most of the time, you can't take most farmers and turn them into soldiers. During the war, they did it, I guess. But normally, a run-of-the-mill farmer, he just wants to farm, and you don't want to get involved. But you got to understand, if you're going to save your ass and save your farm, you got to fight. If you don't fight, well, anyhow, like I say, Mugabe's our boy. He's a real top leader of the black KKK, man. He kept those niggers in line everywhere. And like I say, they worshipped him for it. What a deal. Such a deal. So people that criticize Mugabe, well, you can criticize him, but he was pretty much a success. They worship him. He was a freedom fighter for killing all those white Rhodesians. I never will forget the time that Ian Smith, he was the president of Rhodesia, came. He vowed in his speeches here in the United States to fight to the death, man. We're going to fight to the death down there in Rhodesia. And he even had several right-wingers mistakenly went down there and joined up to fight with him. Which their intentions were good, but it didn't do anything. I went to a speech of his at the hotel in San Diego way back. And all the creeps of that day, the Bolsheviks of that day, were there demonstrating against him. Probably most of the conservatives, too. Because the conservatives aren't conservative anymore. Well, on some things, like making money, they're quite conservative. They're not conservative on saving their race, or technically even their own families. Fox TV is supposed to be this big right-wing, almost racist TV station. It's become as bad as the other side. At least the other side have got an ideology. But the right wing, there's this free trade. Everything's free trade. I listen to Tucker Carlson. I get sort of tired of that guy. I listen to him once in a while. I agree with a lot of the people he brings on the show in opposition. Many times more than him. And he's horrible as far as talking over people, shouting over people. That's why we got to convince people to get out of the right wing, get out of the Republican Party, get radical, get into a radical party. Chaos is the word. We got a lot of chaos going on around now. What was it about, I'm trying to remember, there's something I wanted to tell you. Yeah, they're still picking on Serbia. I got to tell you, I supported the Serbians during their uprising against the Muslims. Because it don't make any sense leaving the Muslims come on in when the Muslims are wanting to do you in, you know. I know the Muslims have been in that area for a long time, but they shouldn't have been in the first place. And a lot of them are white, too. But I think it was terrible, horrible war crimes, what they did in Serbia to the Serbians. Hillary Clinton's paramour did that. Sent our troops over there and bombed them, droned them, and everything else. The Serbian people. And at the time I said, I support the Serbians, I don't care. And the guys they put in jail, I support them. They're not perfect, no. They make mistakes. They had excesses they were involved in. But generally, I support the Serbian people against all their enemies over there. And I definitely don't support the people who send the troops over there to kill white Serbs. So, one thing interesting, I forget the guy's name they just convicted, gave him life. But they got stalls outside the courtroom full of t-shirts supporting him. So everybody that's running around, Serbs over there, buying t-shirts. So the radical Serb has got plenty of support yet. And there may be a second round in this fight one of these days. So anyhow, that's my position. I see they may have gotten that old son of a bitch, John Connors, that nigger up there in Detroit, right? Isn't he from Detroit? He was a crooked son of a bitch from the word go. And you know he was pressuring white women that worked in his office to give him blowjobs and everything else. John Connors, he's been in there about 30 years, 35 years. He's been a son of a bitch from the word go. But he's got every stupid nigger behind him up there. So now at least they'll get him on this sex thing. I'm surprised that the whites will even get him on that. When are they going to release all those names of the guys who spent a lot of money buying off these people, these women? The whole Congress and Senate. I want to see every name of every one of them. I doubt whether that happens, but I think it'd be great if it does. Millions of dollars were spent covering up their crap. And how many would expose that? Nobody that I know of. There may have been one or two that exposed it. But generally, they kept it secret. Millions and millions of dollars being paid out to these women, these guys had taken advantage of. I think those women should start wearing a dagger to work. And one of those guys gets out of line, just stick his ass. Get rid of a lot of creepy, cruddy, criminal congressmen and senators that way. You can say, well, I wasn't against him for his politics. I just didn't like the way he handled women. My computer has slowed down here the last few days. I don't know what happened. We had a rain, first rain of the season, and my internet quit. But it's back on, but it's slow. But there's other things slow, too, so we got to work on that. I got a tape here that an audio file of an interview I did with the BBC back not long after they murdered Bob Matthews, because I mentioned going to see his wife Debbie. We made a video of that. We're going to run that one of these days too. So let's see if I can get it going for you.
About 10 miles from the farm up here, about 10 miles from the Canadian border.
Yeah.
So I went up there. We did a television interview with his wife.
Oh yeah.
And,
okay, Brian. If you would move back towards me.
Towards
yeah.
You.
Yep.
Towards. There we go.
You're gonna have to watch that squeak in that
chair.
Yeah,
so I'll keep it still as a mic.
We're gonna have to do something about that. We had that problem.
So she's living up there, so is she?
Yes, on about a 50-acre farm.
Yeah. And the other guys, I mean, a lot of them were in the clink, apparently.
Well, they've been charged, but here again, no one has been convicted of anything that I know of. So.
Yeah.
A lot of them, yeah, are in jail.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who knows how many there really are, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, standing by.
Steve.
You ready?
Yes, Brian.
Mr. Metzger, I mean, briefly, but fairly, can you outline exactly, you know, what your political motives, political aspirations are? What are you trying to achieve through your show and also through your computer network?
Well, we're trying to give a platform of free speech, basically, for white working people, middle class and working people, so that they can decide what their problems are and hopefully come to a conclusion on a way out of the mess that they're in the United States.
Is that because you personally feel that whites of all kinds, of all categories, are oppressed?
No, in fact, we have as our number one opponent on our list is other white people, white elitists in Washington, the rich corporate leaders and so forth that have totally turned against their race, or for that matter, any race, and they really, the only thing that motivates them is profit. And so we look at those people as our worst enemy and actually don't really view other racial groups as our enemy per se. We're all here working class people struggling over the same bone, and we feel a time has come for the working class whites who have become really an invisible being or mass in this country. They're not even noticed, to strike out and make their own political future.
When you talk about striking out, what disturbs many people I know is the specter of violence, of danger.
Well, violence disturbs us also, but it's the violence of the United States government, and for that matter, other governments. We feel that governments are the largest and most powerful terrorists in the world. We feel that our government is poised to throw us into a thermonuclear war, to wipe us all out. And here they're ready to take a whole new generation of young people, white young people and people from other races, and throw them into another garbage grinder in Central America. So calling anything that the racial nationalists would be involved in terrorists and violent would be so minuscule compared to government violence that there would be no comparison. The public should fear the government.
But does that mean, Mr. Metzger, that you approve of violence to further, let's say, your racial beliefs?
Well, let's put it this way. Violence, it's rough to have violence. It's not something that I don't believe most people want. But on the other hand, every movement in the history of man that's ever been successful in attaining some kind of position or voice, in most cases, there have been parts of it that have been violent. And there evidently needed to be that violence to impress what they were talking about. And that's in every history book in my library tells me that.
With your computer network and those of other like-minded groups, what are you trying to achieve? Are you trying to propagandize the young? Are you trying to highlight people you regard as enemies of the state or enemies of your belief?
Actually, it would take a much too large a computer to keep so-called opponents of white working class, and for that matter, other racial people too.
But there is an enemies list.
Well, I don't know about an enemies list. I don't see how anybody would have a computer big enough to keep it, because when you figure all the tremendous bureaucratic oppression within the government and everything, and all these people really work against the best interests of our people, obviously they probably all have to be on a list. I think it's sort of ludicrous that there would be a list. There's no short list that could cover the problem. That's what I'm saying.
But there is a... Is it know your enemies or whatever it's
called?
Well,
I have heard that some computers have had things like that on it. I have not seen it. I have seen computers that have said, hey, these guys are bad guys, the same way other computers have said, we're bad guys. But primarily, the information on the computer network is much more far-seeing than that. It's ideological. It's updating the people on what's going on. It's sort of pointing out the fallacies of what the President and the Congress and the Senate are doing. It's telling what our ideological position should be, that we're attacking economic determinism and we're supporting racial determinism. It's telling the public about our wish to have dialogue with black nationalist groups and other nationalist groups. And so I think it's really mainly a free speech medium that's probably more free speech than you'll ever get on your regular television.
Your opponents, of whom there are many, would describe what you and your friends of similar persuasion are doing. They describe it as putting out a network of hate.
One man's hate is another man's love. These are very simple terms, and they're used very simplistically, unfortunately. I don't really have time to hate, because hate gets in your way of being effective. I simply see obstacles, and you must overcome an obstacle.
If necessary, Mr. Metzger, you don't oppose violence to overcome those obstacles.
If there is absolutely no other choice, and you have no other way to go, and there's no access to the political machinery, I think all movements do resort to violence. I have not supported or proposed violence myself. I've run for office and done very well at it, but I do not condemn people who are so frustrated that they do strike out in violence, because I understand why they're doing it.
What about this group, this terrorist organization, so-called by the FBI, the Order? Now, I've seen on some of the computer bulletin boards on the networks, like the one you have in this room, one of the members of the Order, one of the founders, who was, I believe, killed by the authorities in a shootout, described as a super patriot.
Well, I consider the FBI the terrorist group, because the FBI obviously is simply an errand boy for the central government, and the central government has become our enemy, and it's become the enemy of every white working man or woman in the United States, plus all the other races for that matter. So I do not see people like Robert Matthews as a terrorist. I see him as being oppressed, and a man who reacted against the government, who had just pushed him into a corner. And so I see Gordon Call, Robert Matthews, and a lot of the farmers that have been shot down on their farms as strictly defending themselves against the central system.
If we follow through some of what you're saying, aren't we heading towards a situation where you'd have a civil war in this country? For instance, I've seen on some of the other computer network suggestions that the IRA-style troubles should be brought to the United States.
Well, I believe that there has to be a balance of power, and there is no balance of power in the United States between the yeomanry, the farmers, the truckers, the working people, and the government today. And so I believe that people should be prepared in any way they can to defend themselves from the government of the United States. So I believe in that case, I see nothing wrong with people being prepared and able to physically defend themselves.
When we talk about political labels, I know that you were formerly leader of the KKK in California. Some of the other like-minded people in similar movements have been described as neo-Nazis, as people who admired what, say, Adolf Hitler did. I mean, what's your position on those sort of points?
Well, my position has always been that most great leaders of the world, and I'd have to include Adolf Hitler as one, had many good points and many bad points.
What were Hitler's good points?
Well, I think he was a fantastic leader as far as bringing the German economy up to the point to where they were really outproducing almost every other country in Europe and even competing with the United States. And I believe, of course, this is why it was decided that Hitler had to go. Not because it was Hitler, it could have been anyone, but because Germany became an economic threat. And so I think he did very well with that. I think a lot of his ideas were good.
What about the Holocaust?
I criticize the Holocaust as an exaggeration. I believe that there were a number of Jews that died in the war. But what my position is, hey, let's talk about all the people who died in World War II. 55 million people died in World War II. Why do we only cry for the small percentage of Jews that have died? Why do we always have to wring our hands for those people? Let's cry for all the people who died in World War II, because it was just another economic war of exploitation, trying to knock out competitors.
One point with the KKK, and I realize that you're not a leader of it now, but I've seen suggestions that even the KKK is switching its tactics, is tending to take off the sort of traditional white hats and so on, white cloaks, and go into military fatigues and try and change the sort of the image of the movement. Is that true?
Well, it seems to be true, and I say probably that's probably best for them, because they probably really don't need the robes anymore, any more than the Masons need their aprons. So whatever works, do it. As far as I'm concerned, you have to be somewhat pragmatic and use the good ideas and tactics, and if it's a better idea not to have the robes, well, fine, don't have the robes.
Would you say, finally, would you say that political ideas like yours, associations like yours, do you think that they're gaining ground, or do you think that over the last 10 years, in fact, when you look at it as honestly as you can, that in fact their support, their clout is being diminished?
I think the idea of it being mainly conservative-based, a lot of this, is losing ground, but it's shifting. We're recruiting now quite heavily from the left, the left wing, and bringing people who are disenchanted with the conservative ideas of the right and a lot of the good ideas of the left together, and I think it's diminishing because people are jumping ship from the conservative idea into a more social revolutionary idea, combining left and right together. And that's what I believe the media has not seen. And I think that is what is going to be the future, not only in this country, but many points of agreement that we have developed with groups in Great Britain, Australia, South Africa, and throughout Europe now are meshing together. The fighting capitalism, fighting communism equally, and going towards nationalism and territorial imperative, and against foreign wars, and against economic exploitation and corporate raping of all the countries of the world. That's the real story that has not been told.
Mr. Metzger, thank you very much. I did just Mr. Metzger, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now, that fellow was a reasonable interrogator, or not interrogator, but reporter. I like to do interviews with people like that, but I haven't done any for a long time because the press have decided that, I don't know what the hell they've decided. If you ain't a neo-Nazi, you're not anything, I guess. But I've refused quite a number of interviews because they always have a set pattern. They've already decided what they want to ask, and they already have decided what the answers should be and all of that stuff. So why talk to them? Trump found that out, and a whole lot of other people found it out, that the corporate press is a waste of time. Now I see that Russia Today, the TV system, I like it. It's got a lot of different ideas on it, a lot of different people speaking in many ways, left, right, and so forth. I like that a lot, but now, see, they're becoming a thorn in the side of the corporate media here in the United States, and they're bound to determine the Congress and the Senate to make Russia a bad guy all the time. And we know that's not true. And so there's so much truth coming out on Russia TV that they're wanting to shut it down. And they may get it done. Now they've made him register as a foreign agent. You know, what an insult. But that's what happens when you have warmongering sons of bitches in the White House and in the military establishment. And above all, the State Department. The worst bastards in the country are running the State Department. And unless the State Department of the United States could be brought under control, it's going to continue to be a shit stream deal. You know? That's what I say, man. Because it's the State Department that's in charge of bringing all these non-white people into the country, except the ones who jump over the fence illegally. They're bringing thousands of them and setting them down in white communities all over the country. I mean, I mentioned a while back that I think it was 20,000 or so of Ethiopians, I believe Ethiopians, that were set down in Tennessee. Geez, you imagine what that does to a community? I mean, you know, but yet here the white people are not rising up. They're not doing it. And I don't know whether they're going to do it. And if they're not going to do it, we're in for a long, long spell, a bad spell. And your job is going to be to stay out of their way, stay out of the system's way. Keep your beliefs, in fact, become more radical, but keep them to yourself. Keep to yourself, keep to your family, to themselves, and see if you can weather the storm. You know, I had a fellow ask me about Bitcoin. Well, I've been watching Bitcoin for a long time, and probably I should have bought a few of them early on, but I didn't, because, you know, being white working class, I'm leery of investment of any kind. But I think the shoe's going to drop on this Bitcoin thing. I think the big boys feel that things are getting away from them. And I don't know what's going to happen. I don't have a magic ball to look at, crystal ball, but I think that sooner or later the big boys, the really big boys, are going to drop the shoe on this Bitcoin stuff. That's just my opinion. Now, gold and silver may not be as fast a deal, but at least if you're holding on to gold and silver, it's pretty hard for them to squash that. However, they can do that. They manipulate the gold and silver prices too, so you can't escape them, boys. You can't escape them unless you're John Dillinger or Bonnie and Clyde. And if that's so, we may be spawning a whole new group of those kind of type of people in this country. They'll do it differently. They'll do it not the same as before, but they'll figure ways to rip off the system, because the system deserves to be ripped off. Ripping off the system is simply self-defense. I've gotten a place, and I've said it on this radio show many times over the past few years. The guy robs a bank, gets away with it, glory to him. However, that's a hard way to make a living, and you don't make much. But I will not condemn anybody who steps up and takes the situation in the hand. I'm not going to do it because I wouldn't last 5 seconds. But there's a lot of people out there who can. But you got to remember, they'll put you in the joint for quite a long time if they catch you. Local news here in Southern California, in fact, L.A., has a story today where they're jacking up cars, putting cement blocks under the axles, and taking all the wheels and tires, because on certain, I forget what model car it was, these wheels are very much in demand. And some of these wheels, I know they're paying $500 apiece or up to $1,000. And a lot of people who claim to be poor have them on their car. But that's the way somebody's decided to make a living. So, since I don't drive a car like that, and I don't have the money to have those kind of wheels, I don't give a shit. Anyhow, it's many times drug dealers themselves all over the place that are driving cars with that kind of wheels. So, if the drug dealers are robbing the drug dealers, that's okay with me. I contacted a person who I had had an acquaintance with for quite some time, and I hadn't had acquaintance with him for a while. Couple of years, and he says he's in the pot business now. Yeah, legally. Told me how he went out here and either bought or rented a piece of land, and he's setting up a big deal. He's got buildings all set up for the pot and all that kind of stuff, so we'll see how that goes. Trouble is, with anything like this, you got to be first in line, because before long, if there's any money involved, as far as pot farming and all that, the guy who gets in first, makes a bundle, and gets out is the winner. But pretty quick the competition gets so bad that you can't make a living. Well, boys and girls, I've been having a hell of a time putting this show together today because my computer has slowed way down. I haven't had this kind of problem in quite a long time. We're going to have to work on this computer. It doesn't seem to be on the internet. Everything's slowing down, so I'm going to have to send you this show in two paces, man. Well, I see that the new immigrants are having some fun here. As many as 10 members of the gang MS-13 stabbed a man more than 100 times in a Maryland park, ripped out his heart and buried him, officials say. Court documents released Wednesday reveal gruesome details about the killing of a man officials in Montgomery County still have not been able to identify. Miguel Angel Lopez Abrego, 19, was arrested and charged with first-degree murder. Wow. A ranking gang member told police Lopez Abrego was the first person to stab the victim, court documents say. Isn't it wonderful to have all these wonderful people coming into the country? Very peaceful people. But watch out, they may cut your heart out. Unless you cut their heart out first. The informant said that he, Lopez Abrego, and 8 other MS-13 gang members lured the victim to Wheaton Regional Park this spring. For about 2 weeks, they planned on how to get the man to go from Annapolis area to Wheaton because they planned to kill him and dispose his body, the informant told police. Lopez Abrego helped dig a grave for the victim and used a walkie-talkie to tell the other gang members when the victim had arrived, the informant told police. Then the gang members choked him, stabbed him more than 100 times, decapitated him, and dismembered him. I guess they wanted to make sure he was dead, the informant said. They ripped his heart from his chest and threw it into the grave they dug for him. Wow. Nice guys. They hide in these sanctuary cities. Yeah. On September 5th, the informant led police to the body. The man's remains were where the informant said they would be, and he had injuries consistent with torture, the informant described. Lopez Abrego was found in North Carolina on November 11th and arrested on first-degree murder warrant. He's in North Carolina. MS-13 in North Carolina. Shit. Where in the hell's the Klan? He has been extradited to Montgomery County. Police are still working to identify the victim. In September, investigators released several photos of clothing and a rosary they found with him. Mother Mary didn't do him much good, did she? The items included a rosary, a sweatshirt with a Methodist Church logo, and a pair of blue shorts. You can see the photos on the Montgomery County Police website. Police say the victim was a mestizo man who was about 5'2" tall and 126 pounds. He had short, dark brown hair. He was missing a bottom tooth, and police believe he was living in the Annapolis area with all the white people around there that he could prey off of. Isn't it wonderful how you can allow your country to be swarming with filth and every kind of criminal, the most heinous criminals in the world, welcoming him in here? Big statue out there in New York Harbor saying, come on in here, all you criminal sons of bitches. Come on in here, you rapists. Come on in here, all you gang guys, pedophiles, everything. Come on in here. We love you. We want to help you out. Well, here's a big news story. Went worldwide. Muslim teen being harassed online. Oh, my God. give the whoever's doing that, give them 99 years in the electric chair. Well, here's one. Man posed as rideshare driver sexually assaults woman at someplace. Yeah. By watching the news the last 48 hours, I think that every man in America has been taking sex medicine. Viagra. They're eating Viagra sandwiches. I'm telling you, man. Getting bad out there. Pretty soon they'll be humping girls on the street like a dog. Old Trump is trying to convince everybody. Everybody's got a job. Well, we got, I think it's 90 million people out of a job. And a good share of them aren't even trying to get a job anymore. They don't talk about how much they're paying. Paying starvation wages. They still want to pay $12 an hour, you know. So all this bullshit coming from Trump or the Democrats, well, actually, Democrats are talking about it more than Trump, but people are not getting raises in pay, and so they can have all the jobs they want. This is just like the plantation, you know. The niggers had jobs. If that's all you're interested in, jobs. It's how much you make is what's important. Do you make a living wage? Most people work, many people work in two or three jobs. So, you Republican lying bastards, you're just as bad as your Democrat lying bastards. Well, now we're getting somewhere. We may be able to make some money here, boys and girls, especially if you're a senior citizen. And I as a senior citizen. Police in Massachusetts have arrested two men they say ran a prostitution ring out of an apartment at a senior living facility. Pittsfield police said 65-year-old Joseph Van Wert and 45-year-old Randy Lambach have been held without bail pending a dangerousness hearing scheduled for November 19th. Authorities say Lambach recruited drug addicts from Pittsfield, took photos of them, and posted ads on adult websites. Wow. Authorities say that Lambach recruited drug addicts from... Oh, I said, read that. Police said Van Wert used his apartment at a senior living facility as a place to conduct the prostitution, and he split the money with the old folks. Lambach allegedly threatened to turn the women in if they stopped working for him. It could not immediately be determined if they have lawyers. Maybe there's some retired lawyers living in that senior assisted living, or at least jailhouse lawyers. That reminds me of an old movie my main squeeze and I went to see last night. We have an old theater, I've mentioned it here, that have different music venues come in, and they also for Monday, Tuesday, and I think Wednesday have old movies. And not many people go, but we were down there, the only people in the theater, I think, except the projectionist. It is a movie called The Over the Hill Gang. It's an old one from the 50s. I tell you, it's pretty good. It had old Walter Brennan and several of the old actors in it, and it was pretty good. I liked that. So it's nice to go to a clean, funny movie, you know, not a bunch of dirty talk and no sex at all. Yeah. As I walked out of the theater, a couple of guys that run the thing, I said, hey, you know, Walter Brennan used to be, you know, big in Hollywood. He did all those cowboy shows. Chill Wills was in the movie. And Elam, Jack Elam, he was in the movie. He played in that Once Upon a Time in the West movie. Had a long career with a bad eye. And anyhow, I said, you know, Ronald Reagan got in a lot of trouble while he was running for governor, I think it was, the first time. They said, wow. I said, well, Walter Brennan was a member of the John Birch Society, but he kept it secret. And somebody in the press brought it out and jumped all over Ronald Reagan because Walter Brennan was his friend. So that was an interesting time. I remember that quite well. Here, that Firefox, it's here and it's ridiculously fast. Firefox just got rebuilt from the code up, equipped with a new engine and a bold new look. I'm going to have to try that out, Firefox. Well, it may be hard to wrap your head around, they say, but even after being convicted of the brutal killings of actress Sharon Tate and several other, cult leader Charles Manson still had women pursuing him romantically. Wow. 3 years ago, Manson, who died Sunday after nearly 5 decades in prison, became engaged to Afton Elaine Burton, 26-year-old woman who went by the name of Star and ran a website called Release Charles Manson. Just a minute here, I got to... The romance fizzled out. The couple's marriage license expired in February 2015 amid tabloid rumors that Burton wanted to marry the killer so that she could put his body on display for profit after his death, claim her parents later denied. Whatever Burton's reason for pursuing the relationship, when news broke about the pair's engagement, the internet couldn't stop talking about this sexual phenomenon called hybristophilia, or as it's sometimes called, Bonnie and Clyde syndrome. Hybristophilia is a sexual disorder in which the arousal is contingent on being with a partner who has committed an outrage such as rape, torture, or murder. Catherine Ramsland, professor of forensic psychology at DeSales University and the author of Forensic Psychology of Criminal Minds, explained in an interview. Let's see here. But hybristophilia isn't always what drives women and men to feel an attraction to killers. In fact, Ramsland told Huffington Post, "Blech. It's rarely to blame. Quote, there are many other motives. Some women also seek fame by proxy or believe they can tame the wild beast in a violent man. A paraphilia is not typical," she said, using the term for an abnormal sexual desire. The women engaged to Manson had reportedly hoped to exhibit his body. That's not a paraphilia, it's exploitation. Other women who dated serial killers actually did take the leap and get married. Ted Bundy, the notorious serial killer who raped and murdered more than 30 women, received tons of fan mail from female admirers while in jail. In 1980, while still on trial, Bundy married one of his admirers, twice divorced mother of two, Carol Ann Boone. Bundy was executed in 1989. He was sort of a handsome fellow. In 1989, Richard Ramirez, a.k.a. the Night Stalker, was sentenced to death on charges that included 13 murders. 5 attempted murders and 11 sexual assaults. That didn't deter freelance magazine editor Doreen Louie from marrying him 7 years later. She called him kind, funny, and charming. While there's no one-size-fits-all profile for that type of woman who would fall for a serial killer, they've usually experienced trouble in their childhood, said Sheila Eisenberg, an English professor and author of Let's see here. An author of Women Who Love Men Who Kill. Without exception, the women I interviewed for my book had all been involved in early abusive relationships, Eisenberg said. Their families, first boyfriends, husbands, and someone else had abused them, either sexually, physically, or emotionally. According to Eisenberg, getting involved with an imprisoned criminal gives women some semblance of power. It's a chance to be in control, often for the first time in their lives. They make the decisions. They're the ones with freedom to come and go. In some ways, the convicted criminal is a perfect boyfriend for these women. The women know where he is at all times, and while she can now claim that someone loves her, she does not have to endure the day-to-day issues of most relationships, she said. She can keep the fantasy charged up for a long time without having to cook, clean, or report in to someone. That fantasy often includes the belief that only they know what their boyfriend is really like, said Oren Amito, a Toronto-based psychologist. Most of these psychologists are just as nuts as the people they check out. Many of these women believe that they're the only ones who can reach the real person underneath the monster being falsely portrayed, Amite said. Only they can give their boyfriend the love and support he deserves, reveal his true self, and prove that he is innocent, or at least misunderstood by the public. Wow. They may even take credit for reforming him, as their love was all he needed to change. The magical ingredient, Catherine Ramsland, a professor of forensic psychology. Still, the desire for fame cannot be underestimated, Ramsland said. If you're looking for a quick celebrity status, dating a convicted murderer will get you that. These people go on talk shows and proclaim their love and insist that the convicted murderer got a raw deal or is different now, she added. They may even take credit for reforming him, as their love was all he needed to change. The magical ingredient. In case of death sentences, the women part of the story continues after the partner is gone. These women get to participate in the drama of a trial, an appeals process, and perhaps even the execution, Ramsland said. As for Burton, in January, her parents claimed she tried to see Manson while he was severely ill but was thwarted by the hospital. In her father's words, the former couple were still friends. Wow! Well, that reminds me, they said the other day that his music was quite popular, Manson's, being played by several bands, and they tended to be leftists that were interested in Manson. But I got a news for him. The right is interested in Manson, too, because James Mason of Siege fame and Boyd Rice of Mechanical Music fame, and two or three other guys I know thought he was just the greatest thing in the world, and they went up to the prison here in California and met with him, talked with him, and sat at his knee. I told them they were nuts. So wait till the tabloids get a hold of that, because James Mason was on my TV show two or three times. So was Boyd Rice. So wait till the press get a hold of that they were followers of Charlie Manson. Remember that statement? I forget when it started. Charlie don't surf. Oh, man. It's a crazy world, man. That's about it for me today. I'll be back tomorrow. No, I probably won't be back tomorrow. Maybe I'll put out a canned show. I don't know. I'm going to go see my kitties, my grandkitties, my kitties, and my kids. And we're going to have I don't think we're going to have turkey. I don't need turkey. So I'll be back Friday, I think. Yeah, that'll be Friday. Take care.